Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, 811 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining me now, Julio Diaz, who is the host of Let's Go Pensacola, which airs at 4 o'clock on Saturday here on News Radio, and also the host, founder of the Pensacola Movie Club. You can follow them on Facebook, watch a movie, and talk about it. Julio, welcome back, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. So, Mission Impossible 23, Final Reckoning. Is that what you watched?
Yeah, 23. I mean, it seems like it's close to that number, right?
It's many, but
I believe it's the eighth one.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Review it, is this a standalone? Is this a part one of two? What is this?
So you may remember the last Mission Impossible movie was called Mission Impossible: Dead Reckoning Part One.
Yeah, I do remember. That's right. Submarine and the AI and all that. That's right. Okay.
Right. So then the movie came out and it didn't do quite as well as they wanted it to, and they went back and retooled, and when they put it out on streaming and on release everything, the part one was dropped off of that.
Okay.
So this still follows that movie. You know,
there's
no way that, because the way that was left off, they had to resolve the, I mean, it's still really a sequel to Dead Reckoning, but it's also, they kind of set up in Dead Reckoning that everything that's happened from the first Mission Impossible movie through to now has led up to what's happening in these films.
Got it.
So
okay.
They really have kind of gone through, and you can question how convoluted you think it is, depending on, you know, your opinion of these films, how convoluted it is to make a through line through all of these movies to this end point. I think it's not as elegant as, and this is a weird thing for me to be saying is elegant, but if you saw the new Final Destination movie and the elegance of these like Rube Goldberg death traps that come together in these movies, that, you know, it really is. Just in that movie, there was just like no fat on the bone. Like everything that was in the movie was there for a reason. It was going to pay off eventually. I mean, this wasn't originally conceived that way, so it has to be, you know, really kind of strung together. And kind of, oh, this thing that he stole in the third movie was not what he thought it was, and it's really this.
Okay.
You know?
So sometimes it feels like it's trying a little bit hard. Okay, but is it entertaining?
Yeah.
I mean, these movies have been supremely entertaining.
So the action is, you know, as always, it's top flight. You know, I've always kind of said that Tom Cruise doesn't seem like he's going to be happy until he dies making one of these movies.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, Tom Cruise is alive. I'm not talking about his character. I'm not saying anything about the movie.
Gotcha.
But the actor Tom Cruise did not die making this movie.
Which is a weird promo. Okay. Before we run out of time entirely, though, Julio, let's Lilo and Stitch live action. Is that also out today?
Yeah, that is also out today, and it really doesn't matter what anybody says about this movie because it's going to make all of the money on the entire planet.
Mm-hmm.
It already made $14 million in previews last night.
Wow.
So, yeah.
14 it's, in a night. You know, wow.
Yeah. It's not getting terrible reviews. It's running around 70% on Rotten Tomatoes, but it doesn't matter. Every family with kids in the world is going to go see this movie and probably go see it multiple times.
Fair enough. What are you guys going to watch next week?
Not sure yet, but check us out on Facebook. As soon as we have an answer to that question, it will be up there.
Very good. Julio Diaz hosts the Let's Go Pensacola 4 o'clock tomorrow and also the Pensacola Movie Club on Facebook. As always, Julio, thank you for the time and watching the movies and reminding me that I had so much wanted to see the sequel to the first one here. So I appreciate I had forgotten until you mentioned it to me. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, thanks, Andrew.
Let's say 15. Let's round up. 8:15 here on News Radio 92.3. 10 seconds, you know, fine.
I guess since we're not making pennies anymore.
Oh, we haven't even talked about that today.
I know.
So many things go by the wayside. Why does Brother Andrew have such fondness for the brotherly shove? We'll tell you about that. Coming up next in the Transgressors Memorial Service, John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
Oh, you had to, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, so no accidents to let you know about. Our CNI-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Remember when washing machines were made in America, were solidly built, and actually got your clothes clean? They aren't a thing of the past. They are Speed Queen, and they are available at Tops Appliance. Speed Queen washer and dryers combine durability and technology into the best washers and dryers in the world. Speed Queen will change the way you think about washing machines. They're built to last longer and deliver exceptional wash results. Unlike many other washers and dryers with plastic parts, Speed Queen uses commercial-grade steel and porcelain components designed to give you at least 25 years of reliable, trouble-free operation. That's why they come with lifetime warranties, the best warranties in the business. See store for warranty details. Speed Queen washers and dryers are built to work and built to last. If you want durability, innovation, and perfectly done laundry the first time, then you want Speed Queen. See these great Speed Queen washers and dryers for yourself at Tops Appliance on Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
Celebrating 15 years of excellence, Nancy's Catering and Events has been feeding Pensacola's most unforgettable occasions since 2010. Led by award-winning executive chef Gus Silivos, Nancy's team brings top culinary creations and guest experiences to the Gulf Coast area, from lavish weddings and galas to seaside crab boils and garden parties. Nancy's has you covered. For more information and to see the array of menus and services, visit nancyscateringandevents.com. Nancy's Catering and Events, where your perfect event begins.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, and the news radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is yet again a stern condemnation for a president, not a chance we're going to say it, who recently enacted three completely unacceptable executive orders. First, the Environmental Protection Agency will be phasing out our beloved stop-start feature on cars. You know, where the car shuts off when you pull up to a red light and then restarts when you press the gas, by no longer offering carbon offset credits to manufacturers who install it on their new vehicles. Ugh. We have been working so hard to make driving a car so unpleasant that people will abandon their planet-killing four-wheel monsters in favor of riding bicycles or jogging or even in total desperation using public transit. And to have one of our greatest devices for ruining the joy of driving taken away when two-thirds of all new cars have the annoying feature is very discouraging. Artificial inconvenience and unnecessary cost are our greatest weapons. Why bother trying to tax people out of their cars when we can annoy them out of their cars? What next? Will he relax emission standards, defund electric vehicle subsidies, and stop advancing Vision Zero? So disappointing. Second, the man in the White House with the black Sharpie has told the Department of Energy to eliminate its regulations that reduce the water usage for clothes washers, dishwashers, showerheads, toilets, and urinals. Double ugh. Does he not realize how vital it is that people constantly be thinking about how they are destroying the planet and finding new and better ways to demonstrate their loyalty to our dear Mother Earth beloved Gaia? We know that making showers put out half as much water only makes people less clean, smell more, and angry. We know that robbing them of the joy of sufficient water pressure to actually use the massage setting on the aftermarket shower head will only make them resent us more. But chant it with me. Resentment is awareness. Resentment is awareness. And if they're irritated, at least they're thinking about how we, the government, is helping them be a better they, the people. Third, and this is perhaps the worst, President Red Hat has decreed that criminal enforcement against those who commit regulatory offenses is no longer a priority of his administration. He even had the audacity to complain about the sheer volume of the 175,000 pages of the Code of Federal Regulations as something no ordinary person could digest, comprehend, or comply with. Of course! The whole purpose of massive bureaucracy is so we can use fear and uncertainty to stifle innovation, restrain independence, and undermine confidence in the population so they can be more easily governed. The Chinese have this down to a science. When everything is illegal, then everyone is guilty, meaning anyone can be arrested so that all live in fear, and they will meekly comply and not question. How dare he strive to take away this basic tool of governmental coercion? Triple ugh! Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Our second remembrance is for the word actress. In case you had not noticed, our cultural thought tour guides in late-night television are no longer referring to persons identified female at birth who perform in television shows and movies as actresses. Jimmy Kimmel.
Our first guest tonight is an Emmy-winning comedian, actor, podcaster, and one of a small handful of guests who've seen me in a towel. Please welcome Sarah Silverman.
Actor. Stephen Colbert.
My first guest tonight is an Academy Award-winning actor you know from Black Swan, Jackie, and May December. Please welcome back to The Late Show, Natalie Portman.
Actor. And Jimmy Fallon.
Our first guest is an Emmy-winning and Oscar-nominated actor and producer. Everyone, please welcome Salma Hayek-Pino.
See, now you might think that Jimmy Fallon, in particular, is only working to regain his status as nominally compliant with the Rainbow Ally Board of Review after he so disgustingly referred to a transgender female as buddy several months ago. I know, gross. But I think we should interpret this instead as mere voluntary compliance with the newest phase of relanguaging under the dictates of the 8th Imperial Vocabulary Proclamation of the Semi-Permanent Standing Committee from the International Magisterium on Virtue, Performance, and Language, third printing. You see, originally, the English word for a person who pretends to be someone else on stage or film by repeating words written for them by other people, one of the most essential jobs in our society, by the way, was actor. Then, around 1700, the term actress gained prominence as first a way of recognizing that more women were entering a traditionally male field, but eventually as a slander to women who weren't doing a truly female thing with their lives, such as raising children or running a brothel. But in the 1970s, our heroes, the feminists, began demanding a gender-neutral term for the profession as a whole, instead of abandoning the terminology altogether, as we've done by replacing waiter and waitress with the uber-bland server, or steward and stewardess with the ever-clunky flight attendant, the industry decided to simply recapture actor as a gender-blind universal label, Academy Awards categories aside. But of course, this solves another pressing problem for the industry. What should it do with the gender fluids? I don't mean the fluids arising from interactions between the genders. I mean those persons who do not self-categorize as either male or female, the they-thems and z-zims of the entertainment industry. Since it's not accurate to call them either actors or actresses, as they defy the gender binary, we could invent whole new words. Perhaps act-its, or act-rights, or act-thems, or maybe act-alongs, if we really wanted to avoid linguistic baggage. But instead of amplifying gender in the terminology, the Magisterium has called for a degendering of the spectrum. So from henceforth, there shall be no more actresses, not even act uncertains or act what's-its. They shall simply be actors. And for obvious reasons, we definitely don't call them thespians. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, this week's bronze tambourine with double hemp tassels goes to the National Football League for preserving the use of a controversial short yardage play perfected by the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles, the tush push. The play entails the offense treating the quarterback himself as the ball by using brute force to simply push him across the goal line via his buttocks rather than having him try to run the ball on his own power. Although a majority of the teams voted this week to prohibit the play, most of them frustrated because they've been unable to stop the Eagles when they use it or to perfect its use themselves, NFL rules do require a 75% supermajority for rules changes, which would have been 24 of 32 teams, but only 22 teams voted to ban the play. So at least for now, the Eagles will continue to dominate short yardage situations by shoving Jalen Hurts across the line with their hands on his hiney. Now you might wonder why we stand so enthusiastically in favor of this decision. After all, the otherin of our order usually shun the toxic masculinity of sports in general, and football in particular. And we certainly are offended that there are no openly gay players on any NFL team. But no, we love the brotherly shove, precisely because it is the most flagrantly gay play in all of football. In the act of watching multiple men aggressively shove their hands into every nook and cranny of the quarterback's rear end in a massive display of brute force, if that doesn't strike you as demonstrably homoerotic, well, I'm not sure what would. Fingers and hands slipping and slopping around the quarterback's nethers in an effort to find purchase and thrust violently for just a few inches of gain? They might as well be wearing G-strings in a ring full of mud. But once we started analyzing this wonderfully most gay of plays, it occurred to us just how much of football lends itself to rainbow inclusivity. Think about the penalties. Illegal use of hands. Tackling from behind. Illegal touching. Roughing the passer. Too many men in formation. When looked at from the right perspective, so much of football's prohibitions seem to focus on defining just what level of gayness is allowed. Then consider some of the formations and plays. There's the Razzle Dazzle, which sounds like some jazz hands variant on a play designed by the offensive choreographer, excuse me, coordinator. There's the run-pass option, which allows the quarterback to go either way, much like something the B in LGBT might practice. The double reverse, which might as well be the drink special at a gay bar. The hook and ladder, don't get me started with fire station references. The flea flicker, with its effort to disguise who really has possession of the almighty ball. The Statue of Liberty, the wedge, and even on defense, what could be gayer than playing man-to-man? But the only thing you can really say isn't fully inclusive about football is that, unlike baseball, the hidden ball trick is prohibited. But you surely can tuck it in and pile on and fight over who has possession of the almighty ball at the bottom of the scrum as much as you like. You certainly can't tell me that a bunch of overly testosterone men bumping and grinding it out on the gridiron, wearing uniforms that feature exposed midriffs and the equivalent of spandex capri pants, aren't showing just a little bit of their own willingness to experiment. No, not only are we thrilled that the tush push will continue to penetrate tight defenses, but we have discovered a newfound affection for virtually every element of the game of football and its obvious inclusivity towards all sorts of male bonding. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal, and go forth and transgress no more.
8:27 on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has got traffic on the fire. You know, I was the most nervous how you, as a massive football fan,
right,
would receive this. But
I loved it. Oh, my goodness. That is so awesome.
You'll never watch that play the same again.
No illegal touching. Yeah, too many men on the field. Yeah, I got you. All right, it's brought to you by Anderson Subaru. Let's see here. We've got an accident on West Kingsfield Road and Beulah Road. No road blockage associated with that one. Just some minor delays. But other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fire.
Every nook and cranny.
Text. So,
David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, security remains heightened at sensitive Jewish locations throughout New York City now after the killing of two Israeli embassy staffers in Washington, D.C.
You heard so many people claim these protests aren't anti-Semitic. They're just anti-Israel. We cannot color code hatred.
And that is New York's Mayor Eric Adams. The suspect in Wednesday's shootings, Elias Rodriguez, now being held on first-degree murder charges. He reportedly confessed to the crime after he was arrested. President Trump threatening to hit Apple with 25% tariffs on iPhones that are not made in the U.S. Trump was posting on social media this morning. He wrote that he long ago informed Tim Cook of Apple he expects iPhones sold in the U.S. will be made in the U.S., and if that's not the case, the tariffs must be paid. And Nike will be selling its products directly on Amazon for the first time now in 6 years. The shoe company had stopped selling on the platform in 2019. They had tried to start their own direct sales platform. At the time, Nike was concerned about what it said was Amazon's inability to stop counterfeiters.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Hey, if you're thinking about that next vehicle, trying to decide, you know, what to buy, where to go, how to look, go to Frontier Motors. You can sample a whole bunch of cars side by side without having to, you know, meet a new salesperson at each location and go through your life story and, you know, then drive and then do the debrief and, you know, all the rigmarole that goes with buying cars. Just, you know, meet one person, you know, drive as many cars as you like, see them all right next to each other so you don't have to remember what was the one at the third dealership ago. All in one place. Very, very simple. Good quality used cars that hold up, that warranty to 100,000 miles or 10 years. They're selling cars that are like a year to three, maybe 4 years young with low mileage. mileage, you know, the kind of cars that you can count on. Dave Ramsey recommends them. I recommend them. We had a fantastic experience buying a Honda Odyssey from them a few years ago that had been 1 year driven on a lease, and the Orlando dealership couldn't sell it, and so it got auctioned, and I got a sweet deal on a great car that we have been enjoying ever since. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Stocks are down to start the day on Wall Street as President Trump threatens new tariffs on the European Union and Apple.
President Trump says on Truth Social that Apple should face a tariff of 25% for iPhones not made in the United States. A 25% tariff would significantly increase the price of iPhones. Ginny Koselda, Fox News.
There's a big Russia-Ukraine prisoner swap happening.
Senior Ukrainian officials say the exchange of 1,000 prisoners from Ukraine and Russia has begun. President Trump congratulated both sides in a Truth Social post. The swap was agreed to during last week's talks in Turkey. Those talks were the first direct peace discussions between Russia and Ukraine since the early weeks of the Russian invasion.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers. Harvard University is suing the Trump administration over a ban on enrolling foreign students announced yesterday by the Homeland Security Department. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. Beautiful morning. We've got sunshine right now, and it is 79 degrees in Pensacola. We'll get more with our weather forecast and Brooke Richardson here in just a few minutes. Memorial Day weekend is here. It's official full beach season right now for folks that don't have a way to get out to the beach. ECAT has you covered.
We depart at the 1515 West Fairfield, the Rosa Park Transit Facility at 3 o'clock, and they're more than welcome to board the bus and ride out to the beach for free as well.
That is ECAT Director Rodriguez Kimbrough, and he says that Route 51 runs 7 days a week. It'll take you to and from the beach at no charge. Also starting tomorrow, the seasonal beach jumper route from NAS Pensacola to the beach is back in action. That runs Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays throughout the beach season. There's new medical tests showing promise for Alzheimer's patients. It's a blood test that detects Alzheimer's, and it's the first of its kind to be cleared by the Food and Drug Administration. The test targets people that are 55 and older who already have memory problems or other signs and symptoms of Alzheimer's. A survey from the Alzheimer's Association found that the vast majority of older Americans would take a blood test to find out whether they do or don't have that disease. Well, it's expected to be another above-average hurricane season this year.
Calling for 13 to 19 named storms. That's when we get to 39 miles an hour when we name the storms. Of these, 6 to 10 are forecast to become hurricanes, and 3 to 5 is the number of major hurricanes. That's Cat 3 and above.
Ken Graham is the National Weather Service director. He's blaming warm ocean waters and a lack of wind shear, also the neutral period between El Nino and La Nina. He says despite proposed NOAA budget cuts, they'll be ready for the season, and they've even got some model upgrades planned this year that will allow them to have more notice when they issue cones, watches, and warnings. The ATF offering a $5,000 reward for tips that could lead to the arrest of some of those New Orleans jail escapees. That's on top of $5,000 in reward money being offered by Crime Stoppers and $10,000 from the FBI. The total would be $20,000. 10 men escaped last Friday. So far, 5 have been caught. 3 women have been arrested for helping the escapees, and 1 jail employee has been arrested for allegedly helping those jail inmates escape. Well, some news coming out of New Orleans. Apparently, WrestleMania 42 no longer scheduled for the Superdome next year. The World Wrestling Entertainment event was on the calendar for next April. WWE announced the date back in February. City tourism officials, though, confirming Thursday. There's been a change in plans. New Orleans had most recently hosted that event in 2018. That time, it drew over 70,000 fans to the Superdome. The Santa Rosa Kids House was presented with a check for $22,878 yesterday at the Santa Rosa Board of Commissioners meeting, and that was proceeds from our sister station, Cat Country 98.7's annual Spring Jam event.
This time we see that Cat Country's shown up, and so we're going to go ahead and drag you guys on up here, Brent Lane and Cat Country and the individuals from the great people from Kid's House, and this is awesome. And this is awesome.
Brent Lane presented that check. He said it was the sixth year they've had the pleasure of holding that fundraising event. Each year, the proceeds all go to the Santa Rosa Kid's House to help abused and neglected kids in Santa Rosa County. Commissioner Carrie Smith did say it was a good thing that that event went well.
Good service well. I was going to say if it wasn't great, I was going to start calling you W Street instead of Brent Lane.
And the money was accepted by Kids House Board Chair Wendell Hall. It's 8:35 at News Radio. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. Just one accident to let you know about, a vehicle crash with injuries on Kingsfield Road and Beulah Road. But other than that, we are rolling accident-free and delay-free. Everything's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
We are going to have a beautiful day today with plenty of sunshine, high near 88 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. Heading into your Saturday, small chance of a stray pop-up shower, 10% overall. Most of us looking nice and sunny, high near 88. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 72. Looking at a similar forecast for that Sunday with just a small 10% chance of rain, high near 88 degrees. Sunday night, temperatures dropping near 74. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And thank you very much, Brooke. Right now, 78 degrees. Our next news at 9 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 90. Informative, local, and dependable. Your money now at the opening bell. Markets are down today. The Dow's down 353 points, 41,505. S&P down 51 points at 5791. NASDAQ down 212 points at 18,713. Taking a look at our 10-year bond rate, it is down just a bit today at 4.505%. Gold prices up 51.10 at 33.46.10. Silver prices up 3 cents at 33.25. We got a mixed crypto market. Bitcoin down 2,000 at 109.435. Ethereum down 61.78 at 25.8013. Solana's up by $1.50 at 179.75. Dogecoin down a fraction of a cent. XRP down about 6 cents right now. President Trump threatening to hit Apple with a 25% tariff for phones that aren't made in the U.S. Trump posted on social media this morning. He wrote that he long ago informed Tim Cook of Apple that he expects iPhones sold in the U.S. to be made in the U.S. Trump said, if that's not the case, tariffs of 25% will have to be paid by Apple. Chiquita says it's fired thousands of workers in Panama. After a three-week strike, the banana company called that strike an unjustified abandonment of work on its farms. That's a view shared by the country's president, who called the strike illegal. A Denver-based airline leading the U.S. air carriers when it comes to consumer complaints. A report from the Colorado Public Interest Research Group says that Frontier Airlines has just over 23 complaints for every 100,000 passengers that it served last year. Spirit Airlines finished second in complaints with 13 per 100,000. 8:38, our next news at 9, and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
Are you looking for the best news in talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big sharp it up.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. It's the opportunity for us to talk with a couple of friends here in studio, like we're having beers or coffee or both. not together at the same time. But John Peacock and Travis Peterson, both of whom are frequent attendees to the Wrap. Gentlemen, welcome back. Good to have you with me.
Good to be here.
It's great to be here, Andrew. It's always fun to hang out with you and my friend Travis.
I hope so. I want to start in a little bit of an unusual place because it's not a meeting I watched yet. I will. But last night, City Council, Travis, you were there. You were there. And one of the key things they were deciding on was to accept the deal with the CISA, Southern Youth Sports Association, for the Rafferty Center, a new indoor facility that's going to be like $3 million. And the city is taking on the obligation to do maintenance up to, what, $45,000 a year, roughly, for like an up to 66-year lease, something like this. But the facility itself is being provided by CISA and, well, by Rafferty Foundation, some other like donations by big people. There were some questions early on about this deal, but when you show up with how many kids?
There were lots of kids. And you know, the interesting,
love the zone.
Yeah, they totally did. The interesting thing about SYSA is it's a multi-generational organization. You've got folks that coached you know, kids 30 years ago, and then those people are now adults and their kids are in the program and they're coaching. And they do a lot more than just sports. They do mentoring and tutoring, and this new facility actually helps them help more kids and provide more services. So,
because they've outgrown the May Center.
Correct. And these sorts of public-private partnerships, I think, are kind of the future of youth sports and community organizations. The local government can't do it all, and sometimes the provider organizations just need a little help or need a little space.
Yeah, I know for a couple of the city council members who had early questions, they're like, we're paying all this money and we're only getting a quarter of the usable hours or a third of the usable hours, and I'm thinking, you're barely paying anything and you're getting a third of the usable hours. Like, you know, this barely costs you anything. A financing of $3 million would cost you way more than $45,000 a year. This seems like a gift horse, you know?
Yeah, it shouldn't be just what they get, right? It should be what the community gets.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah.
And there's so many kids going to benefit from this. Real credit to SYSA and Troy Rafferty and anybody else that's contributing to that project. It's just, you know, it's a win-win, and it shouldn't have been a question. You know, certainly as a council person, you got to ask the question, but like you said, it's a no-brainer. $45,000 a year to do maintenance on that facility is a drop in a bucket compared to what it would cost, and a benefit that's going to be reaped. You know, if we keep one kid out of jail, it's 50, 60 Absolutely. Grand a year. You know, that's money.
What are right? we always saying? You know, kids need mentorship. They need to learn structure. They need to learn teamwork. They need to learn manage emotions. Sport mm-hmm. is a great way to learn to manage emotions because you're going to get frustrated. You're going to get angry, and you have to learn how not to fight. I mean, all of that stuff to take insult, whatever. So, you know, organized activities. When you're doing this, you're not doing that. It's all positive.
Yeah, Reverend Albritton, who was one of the early founders of Southern Youth Sports Association last night, said, our product is responsible, disciplined, educated young people.
That
was just
perfect.
Like, man, you nailed it.
That's
Amen.
Outstanding. Way Amen. To understand the message.
Yeah, he did it. He did it.
You also, the recycling got officially approved last night, right?
Yes, that'd be great.
Kind of a pro forma. I mean, you assumed it was going to get 7-0. They're going to start an advertising push here soon, but... you guys, I don't know, you're a city resident. Travis, you're a city resident.
It'd be interesting to see the response, how many people accept, because this is a pay for play, right?
Yeah, you have to pay a couple bucks more a month.
And I think the other people, everybody's not participating, I think their bills are going to go down a little bit.
It will go
That's
down.
That's right,
so,
yeah.
And, you know, I think the people that want to do it are going to do it right. You know, the problem they had last time is it just became a second garbage can, and there was all this extra waste. So hopefully the people that do it are going to do it responsible. And, yeah, it'd be interesting to see the acceptance rate in the city. Hope it's good.
Yeah, the trucks have cameras on them.
Yep.
With like artificial intelligence. So if you put the wrong stuff in the can, the computer's going to see it. They'll send you a nice note. Hey,
right.
You're not supposed to put peanut butter in your recycling.
You know, don't put bowling balls and hoses and it's styrofoam.
Correct.
Yeah, right.
It's robo recycling.
Yeah, which is good because I've everywhere I've lived my whole entire life since, I mean, like, even in Michigan, you know, you had recycling bottles and cans in Michigan, 10 cents a piece when I was
yep.
a kid.
Yeah.
And, you know, we used to go to football stadiums when the game was over and collect the stuff and go make money. I mean, you know, I've lived in Oregon where you had the same thing. I've lived in Arizona where it wasn't the same money. But everywhere I've lived has always been recycling. I never heard of people who couldn't recycle effectively until I lived here where, you know, well, we just put so much crap into recycling that we can't do it and it costs us money at the landfill. I'm like, what?
Florida's going to Florida? Maybe?
I guess, but it's Florida. Just weird to me. But I like the idea of opt-in because only the people who
right.
there's a little bit of price, and so you would think those people are going to be the more responsible recyclers, and that seems to work out for everybody. So,
well, real credit to Mayor Reeves for coming up with a program that people wanted and one that's going to be opt-in and works, right? And hopefully the acceptance and will grow over time. But, again, it just shows true leadership on Mayor Reeves' part that we're trying to find ways to solve real problems in our community, not put as much in the landfill, et cetera. So, again, more leadership on his part.
A funding source that's outside of the city for the promotion of it, because this the advertising and education portion will be funded by companies who want to look like they're pro-recycling, which they are. So, I mean, that's a defraying of cost, which I like that, too. It's The Wrap. We've got John Peacock and Travis Peterson here with me. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. But if you're on Highway 90 coming from East Milton into downtown Milton, you're going to see about a 10 to 12 minute congestion delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. I think all three of us are pretty big fans of Mayor D.C. Reeves, the job he's been doing. I know I am. It doesn't mean I think he's perfect. I just think, you know, generally he's been doing a really, really good job. I love that attitude. You kind of hinted at it, John, of that's not my responsibility, but if I can make a difference at it, it benefits the community, let's find a way to do it. You're a big fan of the 2045 vision.
Yeah, I think vision in general is good, right? I think what we've lacked in our community for a long, long time before the strong mayor effort way back in Travis Moore, was
2009.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, somebody just stood up and said, this is my job is, right? Before we had a council manager structure like we have in the county, and nobody's job is to get up every day and lead. And since then, Mayor Hayward, Mayor Robinson, now Mayor Reeves, and it's gotten progressively better as the experience of that job kind of gets better. But I think what you're seeing with Mayor Reeves now is a real focus on the future, right? How do I lay out, not just for my administration, but for future administrations, you know, how can we move the city in a direction that everybody can get behind? Mm-hmm. Great community input. I love the fact that we're thinking 20 years out. Not that everything's going to happen that way, but people can kind of see it, and they're going to see progress, whether it's the hashtag project or Hollis T. Williams project. All those things are going. Look at Bruce Beach. Bruce mm-hmm. Beach was horrific. And now over a couple of administrations, look what's happened there.
Yeah.
And now it's you know, very vibrant. People are using it. I mean, it's just wonderful. They have a visionary and a leader in our community moving forward. Again, not that I agree with everything Mayor Reeves does. I wish he'd fix that daggum fountain down at Halifax Pier. But, you know, that's an argument.
Sometimes it's 3-1-1. The little things, the symbolic things.
It's an argument he and I have constantly. But, you know, all kidding aside, the point there's vision and there's the ability to get the community and the council behind it and start funding those projects. And,
well,
and
it's, Travis, it's, you've been interested. You know, you make me think of something that every politician complains about inheriting the problems of past administrations or past boards. And it's very easy to see how that happens when people are in office, even for 8 or 12 years, that, you know, do you really get rewarded for providing that the mayor in 20 years isn't going to have to suffer that? Do you really get rewarded? Or is it just the right thing to do? Yeah. It's the right thing to do.
Right.
But it's hard because you're paying the price now. You have to suffer the problems now. You have to persuade people that it's worth investing in. And will you get credit 20 or 30 years from now for paving the way and making life? Probably not.
Yeah, somebody else gets to cut the ribbon.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. So
the good thing about the vision, the plan that Mayor Reeves has, is I've seen them implement this and connect every city project back to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that really kind of creates some awareness.
Like on the agenda.
On the agenda,
it specifically says this is hitting 3, 8, and 14 or whatever. Yeah,
absolutely. I know with the Hollis T. Williams project, they connect that project back to the Vision 2045 plan any chance they can. So I think it's important that the community knows not only do we have a plan, but we're actually acting on it. Here's how we're acting on it. It's not just sitting on a shelf or, you know, on a plaque somewhere.
Yeah, perfect example. What you talked about, Andrew, is Tom Murphy, mayor of Pittsburgh, years ago. I can't remember who brought him in, with CivicCon or IHMC or maybe both. But he took the responsibility to redevelop Pittsburgh's waterfront. That whole bunch of warehouses and stuff, dilapidated warehouses. He took that on himself. And it wasn't until 20, and everybody complained and thought it was horrible and spent all this money. 20 years later, they gave him the key to the city.
Yeah.
Right? Because they recognized at the time he took a tough stance. He took a leadership stance. Mm-hmm. And then later on, people say, wow, that was a great idea. They hated it at the time, but later on, they give him a lot of credit for it. So I think, you know, Mayor Reeves is doing the same kind of visionary type look. You know, certainly we're not Pittsburgh, nor do we want to be, but you know, there's certain things he's doing now that's going to pay out way in the future for our community, and I hope people recognize that.
You know, that's a really interesting. I don't know Pittsburgh that way. In fact, I don't think I've ever even been to Pittsburgh. But it's interesting to hear that because most people, when you say Pittsburgh, have very negative associations with it. Mm-hmm. They think of it as a whole. It's
well,
an industrial.
Still, it's still
it's
just country,
you know, it's the leftover of a bygone era, and it was ugly to begin with, and now it's ugly and dilapidated and. An abandoned.
Yeah,
that's
it's not
the picture.
That way now. It's really robust,
and that's interesting to hear because it takes time to get your image to catch up to reality, mm-hmm. right? My son just moved to Greenville, South Carolina, to be an engineer, and same story there, where you had this, you know, urban core with industrial and, you know, destroyed ground, and they went in there and made this massive project that's taken 20 years to get off and to get fully in, but the Swamp Rabbit Trail that ties everything together has bars and bikes and parks and all, and it's beautiful, it's amazing, but that doesn't happen overnight. And I know the mayor, you know, is familiar with all these things and the idea of trying to create something like that so that, you know, maybe in two decades that same kind of enhancement amenity is here in Pensacola. It doesn't just happen by accident, and it's never there in the beginning, right? Everybody with their, and we have a history of naysaying, but everybody's got the naysay in the beginning. It's kind of weird, because I follow all these municipal governments very closely, you know, Milton, mm-hmm. Gulf Breeze, Pensacola, the two counties, all that. The Pensacola City Council has gotten so boring. It's so boring. I half the time I have to force myself to watch the meeting. I'm like, this is... I'm gonna watch this. I'm not gonna be able to use anything from this on my show. It's not fun. It's just God, efficient government. Ugh.
Yawn. Well, I think that's what you're seeing now is the benefit of the strong mayor. And you know, Sunshine, Travis and I had a discussion a whole bunch. Sunshine law prevents bad things, but it also prevents really good things, right? And that's that mm-hmm. ability for the mayor or the mayor's team, Tim Kinsella, et cetera, to yep. go talk to council members, get their ideas, you know, where it's not in this public fight and debate,
right?
That doesn't mean you're doing anything illegal. It just gets people to get consensus, to be honest behind the scenes, and then you build consensus and come with a product that everybody's going to like, right? That's the good thing about the strong mayor form of government, and a county would be well served if they adopted something similar, right? We have true leadership capability.
You know, it's one of the things I bring up frequently with Sam Abel, who's the city manager for Gulf Breeze. Mm-hmm. They don't televise their meetings. You can get the recording, but they don't televise their meetings. They don't broadcast them on YouTube or anything, you know, on the line. And part of the thinking about that is, well, when you give people TV time, people pretend they're on TV.
Yeah.
Yes.
Witness Santa Rosa County. Witness Milton. witness Escambia. Witness often in the past, yes. Pensacola.
Yes.
Okay. And though it chafes me every time that I can't watch these meetings, I have to go to them. I do see the point. I do see it. Now, it's not as entertaining for me as a radio guy trying to, you know, make people laugh and be informed at the same time on the way to work. But, you know, again, it is stupidly efficient.
Well, and they frown on you when you bring your beer to Gulf Breeze City Council meetings.
Oh,
you
know,
they? You can drink it when you're watching it at home.
Yeah, that's true. You drink the shots when the wrong things get said.
Yeah.
I did want to ask you guys, just because you're both football fans, and I know you came in while we were talking about the tush push, the Philadelphia Eagles semi-trademark play, the brotherly shove as part of the Transgressors ceremony. Mm-hmm. By the way, as football guys, were you entertained? Did you?
It was. It was.
I'm going to try to use the word penetration
of the tight
every
defense.
Time I can
good.
Today.
So the NFL took up the question of how can we stop a team who's found a very effective way of working within the rules to get an end result that we don't like?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they're really good at winning. Let's prohibit what they're doing to win.
Yeah.
That's so weird.
It is weird.
Get better defense.
Yeah. Figure out. Solve it. They solve the offense. Why don't you solve the defense, right?
You have a great offensive line, great quarterback, great, you know, the great players. And, you know, it didn't always work, but before they had the talent, they built the team for that, you know, for that purpose.
And what I don't get about it is out of these 32 teams, they need 24 teams to vote to ban a thing, to change a rule, 75%. I like that rule, 75% supermajority. But 22 teams were willing to vote to stop the Philadelphia Eagles from obeying the rules.
Well, they don't have their offensive line. They don't have their quarterback. They don't have their running back. It's, you know, you can't all be the Eagles.
I
can't
guess.
All be Saquon.
And what were they going to make the rule that you can't push or pull a player?
Isn't that called tackling?
Yeah, I don't. It's.
Well, they were just adding on to down the field, you know, and it happens all the time, you know, down the field, somebody catches the ball and somebody gets behind him.
Right.
And, you know, that, and again, I think it was just a reaction that the Eagles are so successful, and the Bills have been pretty successful too, even though they voted against it. I just think throughout the thing of player safety, none of the Eagles players have been hurt due to that, play. So it's really ridiculous.
There are a lot better places to focus their energy.
Right, absolutely. If that's the goal. Right. If exactly. There's some kind of abuse, some kind of risk, something like that.
The kickoff rule, that was good. That was smart.
Right. No, I agree, actually. I worried that it would make the game boring, and it has not. So.
Correct.
We're talking to Travis Peterson and John Peacock here on The Wrap. Let's take a quick timeout. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you or delays. I-10, I-110 are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We got a text in here, John. Thank you. We got a text in here at 437-1620. Ask them about the port. Context, I think today we've been talking about, yesterday was National Maritime Day. We had a luncheon put together by Matt Malstrup, port, the harbor pilot. We got a chance, John and I did, to ride on a ship with him. Propeller Club, of course, doing this. It's a big annual thing. We just haven't done it here in Pensacola. But basically the gist of the speech that was given by Dr. Stephen Flynn, who's the director of the Defense Industrial Base Initiative, was we have a problem coming with China. Mm-hmm. We don't know how to build ships. Generally, we don't have enough capacity. We don't have the people. We don't have the training. We have no infrastructure. We have nothing when it comes to comparison with China. It's amazing we've fielded the fleet we have. And, of course, he's talking not just about naval vessels, but about maritime vessels, support and all that. And we are way behind in this fight because we've been fat and lazy post, Cold War. And he says, the Trump administration is funding, but money alone won't solve this problem. You can put $86 billion. That doesn't make it all happen. Ports like Pensacola, Mobile, Pascagoula, Panama City, Groton, Norfolk. We need to, everybody needs to get on board from the university side to the, exploration and onshoring of business. All of this needs to get on board because if we don't build ships and staff them and maintain them, we're going to lose. Thoughts? I mean, I was scared and inspired both, but thoughts about what he's saying and about how Pensacola plays a role in this, like American Magic and the WAVE program and all that stuff that's here.
Well, I certainly think I agree that our defense and maritime capabilities have declined over the years, and you're going to have so much money coming in and a lot more money going out. The amount of money we've got brought in from revenue has gone up dramatically over the past 10 years, but the spending's gone
from
up.
From the port?
No, I'm talking about
in general
for tax revenue for the U.S. Mm-hmm. government, right? So defense spending, all those kind of things has lagged. And you're right, we're way behind in every area of defense. And I do think, my comments about the Trump administration vary all over the place, but I do think a renewed focus on those more important items that keep us safe are really important. And the port's going to play a role in that somehow. I do think that in a city like Pensacola, we're never going to be able to compete mm-hmm. in a major way with some of these bigger deep water ports, but we do have a role in some way. But I do think the port, more of a mixed-use kind to get some tax revenue for the community, makes a lot more sense.
And that's actually what's one of the things that he said yesterday is the mindset historically has been since post-Cold War, all the revenue has shrunk in this industry. And so ports have been kind of, scraping and fighting mm-hmm. against each other, viewing each other as adversaries, instead of thinking each other as team members. We're all trying to push together towards a goal. And changing that mindset is going to be one of the challenges.
Well, I think there's a workforce challenge, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
So much of our economy has, and our education system over the past two or three decades has really pushed folks out of and away from the skilled trades,
manufacturing.
I think we're starting to see some resurgence of that, but I think we're also starting to see we don't have the workforce for that. And so, it's a long-term play, but, merchant marines make really good money.
They do.
And, folks who are turning wrenches on airplanes can make really good money too. So I think there's a workforce opportunity. And with the kid going to college next year, that ain't cheap.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of opportunities for folks who want to do something good for the country, in this industry.
When a war breaks out, a country that's not already prepared for it has to do what? At the barest level, they have to draft or recruit sailors and soldiers and airmen, but that takes time. And then you have to find industrial capacity to build the planes and the ships and the drones and the bombs and that takes time. Mm-hmm. And so if we're serious about this, the general who spoke at Eglin recently got me really thinking about this, that if we're going to be at war against China in 2 or 3 years, which is a very real possibility, mm-hmm. a real hot war against China in 2 or 3 years, that means that the kids who are in junior high and high school right now have to start thinking about, do I want to join the military and be ready? But that also means that kids who are getting ready to go to career academies maybe need to start thinking about, do I want to learn welding?
Yeah.
Do I want to learn airframe? Do I want to learn electrical? Do I want to be part of the industrial capacity that this country may need if we're at war. And even if we're not at war, it's probably good for us to have it.
And do we have the facilities in this country to do that?
Right.
And I think,
are we training them? Right.
All comments about what's going on with the administration now, that focus on bringing some of that here in this country is really wise, right? We can't rely, you know, World War II, we put all the women to work, right? The Rosie the Riveters.
Right. Yep.
Rosie the Riveters, I knew one. and it was amazing what happened there, but there was an ability to do that. There was a facilities and manufacturing to do that. So.
Absolutely. Well, John and Travis, thanks for the time. I appreciate you guys.
Thank you for this very penetrating discussion.
Stream us at newsradio923.com. Newsradio 923. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.